You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
In 2009, Erk went to the dark side and became a music podcaster. He discovered that there was a wide, wide selection of music apart from Do-Si-Do by Julie the Band. It's now 2010, and Erk FM comes down the pipe and into your ears bigger, stronger, and faster. Every Friday, it's Erk FM time. Now here's your host of Erk FM, it's Erk. G'day, I'm Erk, and welcome to episode 58 of Erk FM. Erk FM is my music podcast that comes down the pipe and into your ears at the end of each week. But hang on a minute, this episode is coming down the pipe and into your ears on Tuesday. What's going on? Well, indeed, we have an interview for you today, and we have a very, very special announcement, which is partly related to our interview guest. Coming up very, very shortly, I will be hosting a new music podcast called Insomnia Radio Australia. That's right, Insomnia Radio Australia. And this podcast will be dedicated to Australian music. It will be the Australian version of the Insomnia Music Network, which features Insomnia Radio UK, Turkey, New Zealand, and in the United States, they have shows for New York, Chicago, Detroit, Seattle, San Francisco, and a lot more. Now, I don't have any more details at this stage. We don't have a start date, and I can't direct you to a website. But stay tuned to Channel Erk and Erk FM for more information. Of course, Erk FM is my music podcast, coming down the pipe and into your ears at the end of each week. For more information, go to www.erkfm.com. And on the line from Western Australia, from Scuddly Records, we have Peter Renzalo. G'day, Peter. How are you, mate? Mate, I am doing super. Let me just kill that backing music. G'day, Peter. How are you?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Mate, I'm doing great. Happy Australia Day, first of all.
And to you too.
It seems very appropriate that we are actually having this interview on Australia Day. Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I actually only started this record label about 4 months ago. I originally worked at a recording studio in Wangaratta, which is in the northern suburbs of Perth, and that was for about a year or so before that unfortunately went under. So then I got myself a day job, started saving up, and I just started running my own place about 4 months ago, and I've had a good response so far, just basically servicing the grassroots artists of Perth and providing a place where they can come along and record for a fraction of the price they'd find in bigger studios.
So tell me about the grassroots scene in Perth at the moment. I'm on the east coast in Australia. What's the grassroots side of Perth like?
Well, it's actually a fantastic place, mate. There's a lot of stuff going on that you wouldn't really know about unless you went out sort of midweek at 10 p.m. That's pretty much the only time you'll see this stuff on stage. As a performing musician myself, I actually went through a couple of venues all through 2008 and 2009. And just got exposed to this music. And I was always surprised to find that a lot of the public don't know about these artists at all. And the stuff that was coming out was amazing. It was really, really nice stuff. You could have it up against artists such as John Butler and The Waifs easily on the radio, and yet no one knows about them. So it sort of helped me inspire this idea for the album.
And so tell us a little bit about the album. We'll be hearing a couple of songs today, but in a couple of weeks we'll be hearing the album in full.
Well, the album actually came about 2 years ago, the concept for it anyway, when I was working at the previous studio, and I was just keen to get what I was hearing on stage onto CD so I could actually show my friends more than anything what sort of stuff was going on, and that gradually evolved into me trying to get this album released and available online for everyone to hear, just so people who work during the week can hear this stuff when they can, instead of having to get up at 10 p.m. at night and see this stuff live. So it was more a case of just out of trying to share this with people that hadn't heard it before, because it was something special going on here, and it still is.
And so how do you find these people? Do you go out yourself to these gigs and introduce yourself?
I do, and actually the majority of them, surprisingly, was actually from MySpace. I just basically went to MySpace and had a look through artists in Western Australia and Perth, and was able to sample their music from online, and then contact them through then. But some of the artists on this album I actually found just through open mic nights and going to their gigs at night. Artists like Pete Usher, who's one of the artists featured, I actually saw through an open mic night, and he's got some amazing music, and he's one of the artists that really stands out for me. And I think the sort of style he has is quite a unique bluesy sort of folky sound, and a lot of the artists on this album share that. Some are more produced, more sort of commercial sounding, some are more sort of stripped back. But the fact is that they're all started off with open mic nights and just gigs around Perth, and a lot of the artists that were on this album were approached in that means, and some through MySpace. So it was a good mixture.
So what have they been like to work with? Are they as enthusiastic as you are about this idea?
Very, very much so. In fact, the main thing I found with them is just how much faith they had in what I was doing, because the majority of these artists I contacted originally in the old studio when I was working there to get this album done, and in between getting the album finalized and the studio going under, it didn't get completed, so I had to give them the bad news that the album wasn't going to happen, unfortunately. A year later, I contacted them about doing it through me personally, and they were all still keen to do it. So obviously there was something about the album that they really wanted to be part of, and they saw the potential of it. And the response we've had so far has really shown that. So it's been really good, and a great response from the artists. They've been really keen as to do it. So I've been really lucky in that way.
And so the artists themselves, you've got a wide selection of artists from a wide selection of local backgrounds, local areas in Perth?
Yep, I do. In fact, one of the artists is from sort of Broome area, right up north, and one from further down south, Margaret River. So I pretty much cover the whole coast. So it's pretty good. Even actually, about one of them, Andrew Bond, who's been in Perth only a couple of years, who's performing in Perth and living here right now. He actually comes from Blackpool in the UK. So we're spanning a fair distance to get all these artists together.
And so how will you distribute this?
Well, at the moment, it's going to be available free online through Scuddly Records, the website, www.scuddlyrecords.com. And as well as that, I'm going to be approaching businesses around Perth, such as the Dome Cafe. There's a few places like the Blue Duck, the Vic, all these pubs and bars around Perth, to have them broadcast it on premise. And also through means such as yourself, through online radio and radio that airs, overseas. I've actually got a place, a company called Recharged Radio in the UK, which might be interested in doing it too. So basically the album will be available free and be broadcast free, just to try and get this out there to be heard. I mean, it's not really a money-making project, this one. It's more to spread this out and make people aware of it.
And a big shout out to Justin Wayne and all the guys at Recharged Radio. And they are a great supporter of independent and pod-safe music, as am I. Let's talk a little bit about the actual production. What would be the process to get this album produced?
Well, it started off with the artist coming in. I've basically arranged it so that each artist performed two songs. The majority just on acoustic guitar and their voice, and then from that we've chosen the song that would work best for this album, this volume, because there will be a second volume coming out later on in the year, which will be the second song that I recorded. So from that process, we decide if they want to have like a backing band to it, or like a recorded drums or bass or anything else they feel the song needs or would work well with. Otherwise, if not, then we just go with purely their voice and the guitar, such as Pete Usher and other artists that really think that they can just carry the voice and the guitar themselves, like Ryan Webb, who's a fantastic artist out of Perth, and he's definitely done that with the first track, Sing Me to Sleep. Other artists such as Shawnee or Tammy Dobro, who felt that needed a full production to their sound to really give their music impact, have just worked brilliantly, and it sounds very nice. And their voices are strong enough to hear that, which is quite interesting because they recorded their parts originally, just with acoustic guitar and their voice. Yeah, even with their full production behind it, the energy is still there. So they've definitely got something special going on there.
No, that sounds really good. How long would it roughly take to produce an album of this size? What sort of time frame are we talking about?
For me, started recording middle of October, and my finalising of the editing and mastering was done about the 6th or 7th of Jan. So it's a good 3.5 months it took me to do this all up, and it's been a wonderful process all along. It's been really, and having the artists come along and know exactly what they want and know exactly what they're doing has made a world of difference. So it's been a great time for me to do it, and the result is it sounds like a fun album. It sounds like we've had fun making it, and that was the hope in the end for it to turn out like that, and I think we've achieved it.
Awesome. So why don't we play a song? I'll let you pick a song.
Okay, let's just try Damn Shame by the Scuttlebutt. It's always a good fun song, that one.
Welcome back to IRC FM, and I am talking to Peter from Scuddly Records, and you just heard Peter, actually. Is that right? You're actually in?
Yep. It's quite a funny story, actually. This song wouldn't have existed at all had it not been for one of the artists who, at the last moment, unfortunately couldn't be part of the album and needed to fill the space. So I thought, well, here's a chance for me to sort of, you know, go out and try and actually write a song to this again and get back into the swing of things. And I came up with Damn Shame. Purely as just a fun song, just a, you know, a good catchy little tune, and it's been great fun to do it, and it's turned out quite nicely. I'm quite happy with it, actually.
And so, when you're writing, you've been writing for a while?
I have, actually, yeah. I've been writing since I was about 13 or 14, so it's been a good 15 years now. and that's solo stuff and through bands as well. And guitar's my first instrument. I've been doing that for about 18 years now. And it's all I use to write. Although, for some artists, such as Leah Grant and the Pat Malone Project, I'm doing percussion for that in the background. I'm also doing piano for Megan Jordan's song, One For Your Brother. So I started delving out into those areas a bit more, which has been made accessible to me through the digital medium of sampled and I suppose virtual instruments. So it's been a bit more, I suppose, eclectic in the last few years because of the stuff that's been available to me.
So what comes first for you, the tune or the words?
The tune, actually. I've always found the writing of the tune, the music part, a lot easier to do than just to put the lyrics to that. I suppose even having a theme helps, like knowing what sort of style of song I'm going to do. Like with Damn Shame, as the Scuttlebugs, I actually wrote that almost thinking of, I suppose, bands like the Violent Femmes or the Pixies. That sort of groove into it, and then the lyrics sort of started coming out of that. Just make it a far out theme and go with it, and it became a lot easier to write that way.
Are you the sort of person who'd be asleep at 3 a.m. and then come up with a massive idea and wake up and write it down?
Well, I'll be the sort of person that would lie there until 3 a.m. trying to get to sleep because I can't get it out of my head. but you know, in saying that, it's one of those things, especially now that I'm just basically working a day job to be able to get this studio up off the ground. It's becoming a lot harder because I need to try and get to sleep so I can get up at 5 a.m. to get to my work. And these ideas normally come after I get back from work, luckily. So whether that's an unconscious thing or just it happened the way that has happened, I had a necessity. I'm lucky I've managed to keep some sleep at night.
and that's the thing that many people listening to shows like this might not realise. Many of the people who are indeed performing, they do it around the day job.
Absolutely. It's true, especially when you're, I suppose, beyond a certain age where you need to work, where you have a mortgage or something like that, something boring like that. It is out of necessity that you've got to try and have this happening, but it's through doing this that you can live out these dreams like I am with this studio that I wouldn't have thought possible and wouldn't have been possible if I didn't have this day job. So it's a sort of a strange relationship I have with work at the moment.
Yeah, the day job pays for the hobby.
Absolutely, it does.
Do you ever think that a day will come where you'll be able to quit the day job?
Absolutely. I'm hoping so, actually, because I find more than anything, just the socialising with the day job is the best part of it. I enjoy that. And even studio work, to a degree, you have that. But a lot of it is hours alone editing and mastering, which is you know, it can get quite annoying after a while when you've got no one around and you're just trying to get this stuff sorted out, whereas the day job's a good distraction from that. So it would be nice to have the ability just to have this running full-time as a studio. But at the same time, I'm definitely appreciating the work I have because of the social aspect more than anything.
So hypothetically, if you were a band from Perth or from Western Australia or from anywhere else for that matter, and someone approached you, what could you do for them as a band?
Well, I think the main thing is the amount of control you have over your songs, over your recording. As I've been working in a studio in the past, and just the feel that the bands have when they come in, straight away they've got their backs up about it because, and rightly so, I mean, to a degree, you find that certain sound engineers or certain producers will have ideas about what they want out of a band rather than listen to what the band wants out of their music, which is a common theme I've come across. And with what I'm doing, I'm trying to get to the point where I want bands to come in, tell me what they want, even sit in with me while I'm editing if they want to really get what they want out of the recording. And one thing I like to do is not charge for time. I charge for the job. So a job might be like three songs, and instead of charging them per hour for those three songs to be done, I'll charge them just purely on the songs itself. And if it takes 10 weeks, it takes 10 weeks. If it takes 10 hours, it takes 10 hours. And I find that in my experience with this album, that bands have really, I suppose, responded to that well, because they've relaxed a lot more. They haven't thought, I'm on the clock here. I've got to really try and get this out. So for me, I think the best thing is offering them a no time limit recording. And for the quality you get too, it's a really quite a cheap price.
And so, are there any other ways that you help them? Do you do the whole process, for instance?
Well, I can help with stuff like promotion, but through the website. I can help with even with the design of the artwork. When it comes to the music themselves, if they ask me for ideas or opinions I have on a certain part of the song, I'm happy to give that. But I'll normally take their cue on that. I won't offer a buy-up until I'm asked. In my experience, that's normally the best way to go.
And so you mentioned before that you've found many of these bands through things like MySpace.
Yep.
Have you used other things such as Facebook or Twitter?
No, I've actually used Facebook more to let people know, like with the database of friends that I have and their database of friends, to know about events coming up or about the albums being produced. So for contacting musicians personally, I've found MySpace and just getting out there, going to open mic nights and going to gigs have been the best resource. But Facebook's been a good way to advertise these bands out there and the albums out there. So I'm hoping this that it works out. And then the response I've had actually for the CD launch coming up, which will be on the 13th of Feb at the Charles Hotel, is one thing I've used Facebook for to tell people about.
In my experience, there are bands that can do the MySpace thing and the Facebook thing really well, and there's other bands that don't. For instance, when I'm going through the bands and looking for bio information about them, you can tell which bands put a lot of thought into it and which ones don't.
It's true. It's very true. You do find that. You'll find that and some like to write in the third person, like they're being reviewed, which does work well for some of them. But it's a good point. It's one of those things that you might go to a band and just love their music, and you go to their MySpace page and you look through the bio information, and it's nothing really... that doesn't really give you any extra information about it, or doesn't really present itself in a way that you think, well, you know, doesn't really suit the style that the band was on when you heard them the first time. Or and a lot of that comes down to maybe even the diction, just the way they're writing the thing. It's probably not working. But some bands just pull it off remarkably well, and they can sell themselves in a few sentences. It's really quite good, and it does take a lot of skill to do that and make it look non-cheesy in a way.
Have you had much experience with bands, etc., on the East Coast? Does anyone cross coast to talk
actually,
to you?
Actually, there's an artist for this album in particular. There's an artist, Heath Marshall, who's doing the song Four Kinds of Cheese. He originally hails from Canberra, and he's been over here a while now. He's actually found the vast difference in the ability to get a gig in the East Coast compared to here is hugely different. He found that he's going to be constantly on the phone, constantly in emails over here to get one gig. He'd be lucky to get a gig every couple of months. And it's a common theme I've found through all the artists here. But apparently in the East Coast it's a lot easier. There's a lot more venues, a lot more, I suppose, venues providing time slots that are more accessible to the public and I suppose more musos want to go see other musos, more the general public want to go see these musos, so they make it available. Whereas here, it doesn't seem to be as much. So, in that experience, from what I've found with East Coast bands is that they tend to find over here it's a bit more difficult to get any real stage time in a time that's going to be, you know, in front of people that are going to be just non-musos, really. Because normally you got your fellow band members or fellow artists on the night that are playing that are your audience, which is great, and it's good for support. But it'd be good to have some public support more. So the East Coast senses that better than we do, apparently. And it's something I want to try and change. And this album hopefully will be a sort of stepping stone into that and making people open their eyes and see this stuff's actually happening in their own city and get them out there to see them and hopefully give venues incentive to have early time slots and on the weekends and times when people are out socialising instead of having to go out of their way to find these places in the middle of the week.
Because not only is it difficult for the punter to go out and see these bands in the middle of the week, it would also be difficult for many of the bands, as we said before, they've got day jobs.
It's true. It's very true. And you'll find that it's normally only diehard fans or diehard artists just desperate to get out there and have their music played that do it. And even though, I mean, the majority of the bands I've recorded do have that situation where they are working full-time and they're doing this band stuff, but they'll still go out and do these late gigs because it's the only time they can do it, and it's the only opportunity they have, and they've got something to say, and they want to express it, and they want to be on stage to do it. And so they'll still be out there really, really, really pushing that message, but unfortunately, a lot of the time it's to empty rooms and to just the bar staff, which is something I want to try and help to change in here, you know, to try and make it a bit more of an accessible time and an accessible day for the average guy on the street to come and watch you.
What about the quote-unquote street music press? Are they out and about and active over there?
Well, we have a couple of outlets in that way that do help, I suppose, promote these bands, and like magazines like The Express and that they do help by promotion and they show a lot of these gigs coming up, or they do provide a good place for artists to come and show or you know, promote themselves. So they are definitely helping out there, but I don't think we've got quite the level that the East Coast has. And that's something that I think it just comes down to the availability of the venues that can provide this stuff. There's no point having a lot of press about something that's only got about two or three venues that will provide it for you. So it's a bit of a strange situation, but hopefully we'll be turning around in the near future.
And hopefully with a bit of overseas airplay as well. Who knows?
Absolutely. It's quite interesting. I've found that the overseas market, the UK in particular, seem to be responding quite well initially to these songs. Not the radio stations, the friends we have over there who are sharing amongst their friends. They love the sound. And it's something that I'm hoping will respond well in the East Coast and even out, you know, New Zealand way, even the US would be great just to have some sort of airplay from there. So I'm hoping, I suppose the diversity of the sound on the album itself will be hopefully enough to spread that around a bit. So certain songs will play well in this particular part, but certain songs will play well in this particular part. So it's quite a diverse album in that way, and that was intentional to try and, I suppose, appeal to a lot of a mass market, I suppose, a bigger market.
And the really good thing is that it's not just the guys. The girls are in there having a red-hot go as well, to use an Australianism.
Oh, mate, that's right. In fact, it's funny. It starts, it's 50-50. There's 9 songs male and 9 songs female. And I've got to tell you, the majority of the songs that I recorded, I found the energy and the impact of it was a lot more from the females than the males. And that's not necessarily I suppose the music itself, it's just the energy in the song. Even artists such as Megan Jordan, her song One For Your Brother, it's a very almost spoken lyric, but it's such a powerful song. It's just a great, and that's one of my favourites actually. And I find a lot more to the female songs than I do the male ones. Maybe being male, I don't know what it is, but it's certainly something I've found interesting.
So here's a great time to play a female song now. Why don't you pick one?
Yep, I think Megan Jordan, One For Your Brother.
I need this tonight, 'cause I'm not alright, and each one takes the edge off the pain. One for the light, that I mean something to you. One for pretending I don't see right through you. One for the knife in my stomach. One for the fall.
Welcome back to IRC FM, and on the line we have Peter from Scuddly Records. How did you come up with the name Scuddly Records?
Well, it's an interesting story. It's the actual studio itself is on my property, so I have it in a back shed, a converted back shed, and I also have a chicken coop, and that's next to it. And one of the chickens I've actually got in there is called Scuddly, and this happened before the actual studio was born. So I thought it'd be interesting to, in honor of the fact that it's next to a chicken coop and one of the chickens in there is called Scuddly. I thought Scuddly Records is a fairly catchy name and it's got a strange story, so it might be a good way to start it.
I think only we in Australia could get away with that, couldn't we? Naming a studio after a chicken. So you would have had to have done all right with your soundproofing.
Yes, definitely. And I've done all right with my neighbours too. They're not complaining at all. But I normally try to keep the drums, any recording drums, before 6 p.m. And anything after that, with guitars and stuff, I normally don't go later than 7:30 or so. But I find most of my recording is on the weekends, and whenever I get back from work, I'm normally recording sort of DI, which is direct input, after 7 p.m., which means there's no need for amps, no need for any of that stuff. So the volume level is a lot easier to maintain. So it's sort of suburban, the area I'm in, but it's turning out quite nicely, and a lot of the album was recorded. This album was recorded sort of in the evenings at night or during the week. So I've managed to get that sound out, luckily, still with the restrictions I have in the area. So it's certainly working, and I'm hoping one day to get my own sort of premises purely as a professional point of view. But it's working well just for the quality of the sound I'm getting, and hopefully it will only be a matter of time before I can keep the day job and get myself in an actual studio.
Awesome. So while you're driving around the streets of Perth, do you put the CD in and have a bit of a listen?
Absolutely. It's one of those things. It's the CD itself. I'm getting about 100 or so pressed for businesses around Perth and so on, but also I'm keeping a couple for myself and just purely to see what it sounds like in a car stereo. Because one of the things I don't really hear a lot of is this album being played through stereo systems and car stereos, because most people use iPods now and sort of mobile media. So normally it's through headphones and things like that. So it's good to hear it in the old-fashioned sort of car stereo, if you can call that. It's funny because I myself don't actually drive. I'm legally blind. So I rely on my ears a lot to get around. So my wife normally chaperones me around and we are able to sort of hear it in that way. And it's turning out pretty good.
Awesome. So why don't you tell people how we can find you on the interweb?
Okay, if you go to www.scuddlyreports.com, that's probably your best bet, just to go to that site there. And the spelling of Scuddly is S-C-U-D-L-E-Y, records. Otherwise, there's all the bands are on MySpace as well, so if you go to my artist section in the website, you'll find there's a few of them up there. There's still a few to be added. And you'll be able to connect to all those artists there as well. I'm also on gumtree.com.au. There's also a few just local classified areas, but normally the website's the best place to go. And there's a message board there, and there's always constantly been updated, so probably your best bet is the website.
So what is gumtree.com.au? I haven't heard of that one.
It's basically like a classifieds, online classifieds newspaper that is for, I suppose, musicians and people who are just do trading, and it's quite useful for finding band members and just finding, I suppose, outlets for recording and even tutoring and stuff like that. So it's just a good little local resource. I think they're national. I think there is a national branch of it, but I'm obviously on the Perth one. So gumtree.com.au.
Awesome. And what's the name of the album?
The album is called Folklore.
So what I will do, I will put all of the songs on the show notes with a link to all of the artists. So if people want to have a listen before I play them on IRC FM in a few weeks' time, you can interact with the artists, let them know that you heard them via IRC FM, and who knows, hopefully we might be able to actually talk to some of them out myself.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you very much, mate.
No worries. You have been listening to episode 58 of IRC FM. For more information, you can go to www.irkfm.com, and in a few weeks, we will be hearing the album in full. Until next time, wherever it is that you see me across Channel IRC, I'm IRC. Good night, Interweb. You have been listening to a Channel IRC production. Channel IRC and all five podcasts are licensed under a Creative Commons non-commercial, non-derivative, share-alike license registered in Australia. Music is used with direct permission or under agreements with various music providers. All rights to the music contained within remains with the original rights holder. Some sound effects are sourced from the Free Sound Project under Creative Commons. For more information about Channel IRC, go to www.channelirc.com.